What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Do you trust Donald John Trump with Vladimir Putin? I don't know Vlad's middle name. Can we look it up? Does he have a middle name?
Thomas.
KGB Putin. Thomas? Yep, wish we... I don't even have a thought. Carter. Man, he's a commie. You hear him enough. You know he's a commie. Do you trust... What do we got for a middle name for Vladimir?
Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin.
That doesn't count.
That's what they tell me on the Wikipedia.
Chedovich Hartman. Dave Davidovich Harrigan. Come on, get out of here.
Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin.
That's some lazy parenting. Okay, come on.
Do better, Mr. and Mrs. Putin.
I mean, they really liked Vladimir as a name, didn't they?
I think so.
They couldn't get enough of it. No. They went, Vladimirich.
Here we got Vlad.
Okay, this is the question. And I want you to call, elaborate, elucidate, whatever you want to do, or text. But we want more than just a yes or no. Yes, this is why. No, this is why. Do you trust Donald Trump, the president of the United States, the most powerful person on planet Earth? Is there any doubt about that? That the president of the United States, especially the power that Donald has been wielding, is clear-cut the most powerful person on the planet?
Oh, if you saw the podcast numbers that Taylor brought to new heights last week.
That's true. That is true. He's tried to bring her down. Not working very well. He's met his kryptonite right there. Do you trust him with Vladimir Putin? First on the panel is David.
Wow.
Davidovich Harrigan. Do you trust President Trump with Vladimir Putin?
No.
Why?
Because I don't. Believe he's been played too many times. It certainly seems he tells us all the time about great conversations, a perfect call, blah blah blah, all the
friends
things.
we've had this good relationship.
Yeah, and you know what Putin does what Putin wants to do. You know, Trump even had that great soundbite a few months ago about all the times he's told Melania, oh, we had a great conversation, me and Vlad, and then she says, oh yeah, and Putin just bombed again. What's going on? No, I don't think Putin cares at all what Donald Trump says if it's not in Putin's best interest.
I don't know why, and I don't buy the P-tape. Okay, Donald is a germaphobe. Now, Zelensky has arrived. The president is shaking hands. He is wearing...
That might be a suit.
He is wearing some sort of suit, it appears. Remember... Yeah, that's definitely suit. We got a closer picture on CNN. Or it's been
black on black.
Black on black. They are posing right here. Obviously, this is enormous. What is happening today after the summit in Alaska with Trump and Putin, now you have Zelensky, Trump, and prominent European officials. I don't know why, but Donald Trump continues to roll over like a puppy. And let Vladimir pet him on his belly. The strongest sanctions which ever happened when Donald Trump was president the first time towards Putin were ones passed by Congress. And in the end, he signed it reluctantly one of the last days. And I know he continues to say, Russia, 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 that was all disproven. It was not all disproven. Did it live up to the dream orgasmic scenario for the Democrats? No. No, it did not. There was no complete proof of coordination between Trump campaign and Russia. Did his guy, Paul Manafort, share information? Yeah. By the way, Paul Manafort was running the campaign then. Donald Trump Jr. met with officials. There's other crap that was out there that was dramatically exaggerated, including the Steele dossier. No doubt. There's other questions on what was pushed by, not Obama. Don't give me the treason. If you think Obama is in the treason, you need to step back from your MAGA loving. Just deep breath. You're allowed to disagree with them. You're allowed to feel like Trump is 1,000% better president, but stop on the treason talk. Okay. Let's not forget that Donald Trump, while campaigning, Russia, if you're listening, find those Hillary emails. And what happened the next day? Boom. The emails right there. Robert Mueller, who was a part of the Democrats' dream to bring down former candidate Trump and now President Trump, and Robert Mueller, sadly, age had deteriorated for Robert Mueller. He looked bad. He looked very bad, confused. But if you read the report, it was damning on Russia wanting Trump to win. Vladimir Putin flat out said, wanted Trump to win. The Helsinki summit from the first administration, when Trump says to Vladimir Putin and the, excuse me, the assembled press, Putin just told me he didn't interfere in 16. Why wouldn't I believe him? Think about how breathtaking that is. A KGB agent, president of Russia, saying something that is counter to a bevy of intelligence about Russia wanting Trump to win. And Putin says it and he goes, well, seems fair to me. The Senate intelligence report, overseen by Marco Rubio, now the National Security Advisor and Secretary of State, which was clear-cut in saying Russia was very involved and clearly wanted Trump to win. But again, the big thing on coordination. No, not at the highest levels. Could they prove that? But I mean, so that's the past. Here we go again. So we have the summit Friday in Alaska. What did Donald Trump say for weeks and weeks? Here's the deadline, August 8th. I'm sick of his BS. He continues to kill people, whether it's the Milani conversation, whatever. And he said, I want a ceasefire. I'm going to know within 2 minutes or I'm walking out. And if I don't get a ceasefire, there will be severe consequences. I'm not saying that we won't get something, maybe even in 24, 48 hours. I don't know. But the severe consequences have not happened. They have not happened. And then some people are now saying, well, you can't offer up harsh words towards Russia when you're trying to negotiate with them. Donald Trump offers up harsh words all of the time. Now, they're meeting right now. Can we try to pick this feed here, Dave?
I'm trying to pull it up right now.
Yeah, this is Trump and Zelensky in the Oval Office, and we know what this was like last time. We're going to hit your text. I'm glad he's involved, 100%. I'm glad he's trying to do something, but I just don't trust him putting strong sanctions on Russia. I need proof. So here is, the president has briefly spoken. Here is President Zelensky in the Oval Office.
First, to stop killings and stop this war. Thank you. And using this opportunity, many thanks to your wife, First Lady of the United States. She sent a letter to Putin about our children, abducted children, and my wife. First Lady of Ukraine. She gave the letter. It's not to you, to your wife.
Oh, I want it.
Yeah. So we are saying this sensitive topic, yeah. Yes, please. And thanks to our partners and that you supported this format, that after our meeting we can have leaders who are around us, the UK, France, Germany, Italy, Finland, EU, NATO, I mean, all partners around Ukraine supporting us. Thanks them. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you very much for being here.
President Trump.
Do you think it's fair?
Yes, Peter, go ahead.
Thank you, President Trump. So, President Zelensky, you say in the Post on X today, Russia must end this war, which it itself started. President Trump, you say President Zelensky of Ukraine can end the war with Russia almost immediately.
Good question.
If he wants to, which is it?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think we're going to have a meeting. I think if everything works out well today, we'll have a trilat. And I think there will be a reasonable chance of ending the war when we do that.
And is this the end of the road for American support for Ukraine? Is today's meeting deal or no deal?
I can never say that. It's never the end of the road. People are being killed, and we want to stop that. So I would not say it's the end of the road. No, I think we have a good chance of doing it. It's been almost 4 years now that a lot of people were killed last week. A lot of people last week. I mean, millions of people killed, but a lot of people last week, for whatever reason, a big number, a lot of soldiers, both on both sides. And I know the president, I know myself, and I believe Vladimir Putin wants to see it ended.
And as you met with Putin on Friday, today you've got President Zelensky here. As you listen to Russia and Ukraine, which side has the better cards?
Right? Well, I don't want to say that. I'm just here to be. Look, this isn't my war. This is
second
Joe Biden's
war.
He's the one that had a lot to do with this happening, and we want to get it ended. And we want it to end good for everybody. We want it to end good. The people of Ukraine have suffered incredibly.
President Zelensky, are you prepared to keep sending Ukrainian troops to their deaths for another couple years, or are you going to agree to redraw the maps?
Thank you for your question. So, first of all, you know, we live under each day attacks. You know that today have been a lot of attacks and a lot of wounded people, and the child was dead, small bomb, one year and a half. So we need to stop this war, to stop Russia, and we need support, American and European partners, and we will do our best for this. So, and I think we show that we are strong people, and we supported the idea of the United States, of personally of President Trump, to stop this war, to make a diplomatic way of finishing this war. And we are ready for trilateral, as President said. This is a good signal about trilateral. I think this is very good. Thank you.
If the peace deal will be achieved, are you going to be willing to send American peacekeepers to Ukraine?
Well, we're going to work with Ukraine. We're going to work with everybody. And we're going to make sure that if there's peace, the peace is going to stay long term. This is very long term. We're not talking about a 2-year peace and then we end up in this mess again. We're going to make sure that everything's good. We'll work with Russia. We're going to work with Ukraine. And we're going to make sure it works. And I think if we can get to peace, it's going to work. I have no doubt about it.
Your team has talked about security guarantees. Could that involve U.S. troops? Would you rule that out in the future?
We'll let you know that maybe later today. We're meeting with 7 great leaders of great countries also, and we'll be talking about that. They'll all be involved, but there'll be a lot of help. When it comes to security, there's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are a first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe. But we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
Mr. President, Vladimir Putin mentioned that the war will not end without addressing the root causes of this war. Have you had an understanding what are the root causes of this war?
Well, look, the war is going to end. When it ends, I can't tell you. But the war is going to end, and this gentleman wants it to end, and Vladimir Putin wants it to end. I think the whole world is tired of it. And we're going to get it ended. It was, you know, I've done 6 wars. I've ended 6 wars, and I thought this maybe would be the easiest one, and it's not the easiest one. It's a tough one.
Okay.
A lot of reasons for it.
No. Keep going. I was just commenting on it.
So you're right.
No.
You just take a look.
This is
going to
be the easiest one. Okay.
Go to Africa and take a look at that: Rwanda and the Congo. Republic of the Congo. That's been going on for 31 years. And so we've done a total of six, and we really have six, not including the fact that we obliterated, and it turned out to be a total obliteration, the nuclear, in, as you said, the future nuclear capability of Iran. And this one, I think we're going to get solved also. I feel confident we're going to get it solved.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can you tell us about your conversations with European leaders and what they need to see to support an end to the war?
Yeah, well, we're going to be meeting with a great representative group and seven very powerful, very big countries, great people, all friends of mine and friends of yours. And we're going to have some suggestions made. They want to see peace. They would like to see peace.
President Trump, do you think it's fair to for Ukraine and for Russia to achieve a lasting and durable peace if Ukraine cedes its territories that Russia hasn't yet conquered? Do you think it's a fair peace for Ukraine?
We're going to have a lasting peace. Just to answer the first part of your question, we're going to have a lasting peace. I hope it's going to be immediately. I hope it doesn't have to go on. And I think people in the whole world is going to be very happy when that's announced.
Yes. All right, we're going to jump in right there. So this is different, Dave, from the last time in the Oval Office, where it was feisty, he was yelling, he was screaming. Fairly typical comments from President Trump. President Zelensky right away giving a gift for Melania. That's the standard now. If you go to the White House.
For Melania, not for Donald.
Yeah, give a gift. And this time. So we'll continue to monitor this. And again, I'm going to read your text. Okay. Do you trust Donald Trump dealing with Vladimir Putin? I'm going to know. I want to see what Marco Rubio yesterday on numerous talk shows, Sunday talk shows, said. To get a deal, both sides are going to have to give up something. When is Vladimir Putin under Donald Trump ever give up something? And I'll add, 100%, he invaded Crimea under Barack Obama. 100%. This latest invasion happened under Joe Biden. Those are irrefutable. And those are very good comebacks by people who support Donald Trump. Trump claiming the other day that Putin said, I wouldn't have invaded if Trump was president. Also saying that Trump won in 2020. So Vlad knows how to say this, but do you trust him? We're already late. Let me jump in and talk about Stretch Lab. After a busy 4 or 5 days for me physically, I need Stretch Lab, and I need Stretch Lab bad. What is Stretch Lab? It's a place with over a dozen locations here in the area that will bring back more flexibility for you, more pliability. Study after study talks about your quality of life, whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your early 30s, whether you're maybe 60 like I am. You need to have flexibility. Prevent that upper back tightening, the lower back, the glutes, the hamstrings, the calves. So why go to Stretch Lab? Why check it out at stretchlab.com? Trained professionals with months and months and months of training who know how to work with you. Sign up for that 50-minute session. Get that total work done the first time, and then if you want to zero in other areas, do that. StretchLab.com has helped me for 6-plus years, helped my son, Quentin, who has significant health issues and can help you. Don't hesitate. Do it today. StretchLab.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Among the texts here are, do you trust Donald Trump in dealing with hard negotiations with Vladimir Putin? The fact he only invaded Russia when the Dems were in power only increases my distrust of Trump. 0%, Republican or Democrat, trust Putin except Trump. He's either a moron or a worse negotiator than I ever thought. I'm not sure he loses points because Putin invaded under Biden and Obama, right? He brags about it. We don't know what would happen completely, but that only puts him in a better position, doesn't it?
I would think.
I would think so. He can shove the peace press up his backside. He's literally starting wars on our city streets. All these are texts. No chance Trump is going to end this war. How about the poor service members who had to roll out the red carpet for a war criminal? Friday was so embarrassing for all of us. Yeah, I was disgusted watching that. And yes, he should. And presidents have met with vicious leaders at different times. But seeing this KGB thug who started all of this get the treatment he received and lose nothing so far, including, Dave, the possibility of getting land he hasn't even acquired in the war yet, that's asinine. Zelensky has to say what he's saying right now regarding we want everything back. They're not going to get everything back. They just aren't. But granting Putin even more land that in the years-long fight they haven't acquired yet for a war 1,000% irrefutable to all of us, except Donald sometimes when he says Ukraine started this war and you're going to give him more land? Come on. That is horrible. Do you realize that a lot of things Trump says are either joking or sarcasm? Yeah, I do. Absolutely. And there are times we play it and we're amused. But saying he was going to end the war within one day, come on. And he needs to get Vladimir Putin to show significant concessions in areas, if not offer up severe bleeping consequences. Stand up to the thug. And by the way, did Obama and Biden enough? No, I'm not saying their situation was flawless. You write a document about it. But this guy goes too far. You're certainly a Trump hater. Biden sent Ukraine just enough weapons to prolong the war and killing. Keep the military-industrial complex going. That's why Biden sent the troops. The military. Biden sent the military to stop Russia from evading and invading further and further and further after they already did. And he waited too damn long to send more of it. And he wasn't capable of the job. So anybody who criticizes Trump now from some people, you're a hater. Let's see. Trivia question. Name the six wars Trump ended. Yeah. It's a little dubious on some. Some of those absolutely played a big part. And by the way, Iran, this big response from Iran after what happened has not happened. Soleimani didn't happen. The total destruction, that didn't happen either. But setting it back years from most reports, yes. So some things he does. If you're not willing to acknowledge some success, then you're sticking your head in the sand. And by the way, that's the same thing if you're a MAGA, if, you know, Biden, Obama, or Democrat offers up something that's had some success. Aquarius can help you out in a lot of ways, your house. How about let's just start with that utility room? Because you need your utility room to work, and they have a State Fair special right now. State Fair special regarding a new AC or new furnace. If you get one, how about 36 months, 0% financing based on credit approval? We had a big event at a house we have, and guess what happened? One of the toilets was overflooding on a big, big event for my future daughter-in-law. That was not good. You don't want the toilet flooding when you're going to have this great, fun weekend.
I like toilets that flush.
With the girls. Guess who I called? Aquarius, and they came out. And they got it done. They can help you on these emergency dire situations where they happen out of nowhere and you got an event going on. Or just every day they'll set up that Kinetico drinking water system or the water softener. Really good people earning the right to be recommended. I've been a customer since 1993. Not going anywhere. AquariusHomeServices.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So this was the play story in the Star Tribune yesterday. Assassinations place Van Belter's religion in the spotlight. Three writers from the Star Tribune on this. This is the biggest story in the state. Nothing's close. The assassination of the Hortmans, what almost happened to the Hoffmans, and who knows how many others could have been killed. And we're still looking at state trial, a federal trial, all involving Vance Belter. So Jeff Mytrot, Sarah Nelson, and Reed Forgrave looked at this, and Reed has joined us multiple times before, and Reed is now with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I always appreciate it, sir. From what you knew from just the reporting by your paper and other media outlets about Belter and religion, what stood out to you most from the work you did along with Sarah and Jeff after a fair amount of work and a lengthy story, which is still available, StarTribune.com?
Yeah, thanks for having us on. Thanks for having me on. This was a massive project that we did at the Star Tribune. It involved getting, you know, a year worth of sermons from his church here in Minnesota, as well as sermons that he gave in the Congo, because he did a lot of missionary trips there, and analyzing them. It involved interviews with Belter in jail in Sherburn County, done over sort of the jail chat room, and then just talking with a lot of people, both at his church here and in the evangelical movement in Minnesota and nationally. And I think part of what stood out was just how, you know, until this happened on June 14th, how much he was considered sort of like a model parishioner, like a model Christian, a guy who, you know, the evangelical movement, which, by the way, is like 20% of the U.S. population,
yeah,
somewhere around 80 million people.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Enormous, you know, number.
Right. And he is obviously at the fringe of the fringe of that. But until June 14th, this guy was held up as a model parishioner for his mission trips to Africa, where he had, he was both kind of like commingling a business venture as well as, you know, trying to convert soul to Jesus Christ. He was lifted up for his fidelity to his marriage. This guy he didn't get the sense that this was some creepy guy who was hanging on the margins of this church. This was a guy who was seen as a great Christian. I don't think that indicts Christianity. I don't think that indicts
certainly
evangelicalism.
Mm.
Doesn't indict even his church. But it's really interesting. It's surprising in a way how normal he seemed in the context of this bigger movement.
Okay, so let's talk about charismatic Christianity, his church, and for the typical churchgoer every Sunday, a lot of things going on in his or her life. What is unique about this particular place of worship?
I grew up Christian, not evangelical, but I did grow up Christian. I've been to a lot of evangelical churches over the decades, and this struck me as kind of any normal evangelical church, a new one, one that was founded in 2022 that meets in a middle school cafeteria down in Jordan, just a few miles from Minnesota's largest candy store, as we noted in the first paragraph of our story. So it's young. It's a very young church. It's a very casual church. It's very heavy on, you know, contemporary Christian rock music. And one thing that did stand out, I'm not sure this is different than every evangelical church I've been to, but there was a heavy emphasis on the end times, on, mm-hmm, you know,
yep,
second coming of Jesus, and that they believe that this is coming soon and that they should prepare for this. And it wasn't in a crazy way. Like, it was in a, here are five Bible verses that refer to the end times coming soon. But that was definitely one of the things that stood out to me.
Reed, the way I read it, looking up myself a little bit, in an inevitable and hopeful way, how they looked at the end of what we know is now of normalcy.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, absolutely. It's not saying, oh my gosh, the end is coming, be afraid. It's saying, get your soul in order, get your spiritual affairs in order, because, you know, God has said to us, this is coming and this is coming soon. And we talked with plenty of other people who are either connected with the church or connected with the evangelical movement more broadly, and talking about how there is kind of like this around that context. There is sort of a stew of more violent rhetoric. There's a stew of sort of an us versus them mentality that can come out of some of these churches. And when we went through a year of sermons at this church, we certainly did see some of that. Absolutely.
I want to stay with that. Remind folks, Reed Forgrave is with us. He, along with Sarah Nelson and Jeff Mitrott, in a very interesting story in the Star Tribune, Assassinations, Place, Vance Belter's Religion, the Spotlight. Because I want to talk about that, because there are times this happens in politics, it happens in sports, it happens in everyday life, when someone is affiliated with some organization, okay, and that one or two within whatever business organization might say something that might cause the two of us go, whoa, like, what does that mean? And then what happens for some people, Reed, is people think, well, everybody who's a part of that business, that organization, that church feels that way. You're going to have outliers.
Yeah.
So within Belter, and some of what you just said, where there is some extremism in this church, and let's be honest, in a lot of different religions and divisions of religion, you can have people who say some of those whoa moments. Did he have this as a part of his life in his comments through his decades apart of religion and talking about how at 17 he felt like God came into his life and really completely changed the direction of his life at that point for the next 40-some years?
I mean, this is a guy, like, you can frame it two different ways, right? This is a guy who was on fire for the Lord and had been since age 17, or this is a guy who took his faith to such extremes that it led him on a path to do something, you know, alleged path to do something absolutely horrific. Did he have extreme views? Did his church have extreme views? Yes. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to say that. Look, a church being against abortion rights, against same-sex marriage, even against like LGBTQ supporters, is that among more conservative churches?
Sure.
Is that out of the norm? No, I don't think
Mm-mm,
so.
No.
But his church, when we look at their sermons, when they talk about women, about wives being submissive to their husbands, when their career is the primary duty is wife and mother. Or back in November, a speaker of the church called members of the United Methodist Church apostates for changing its rules to allow gay clergy. I think that is probably a little bit more outside the norm of what we see in what I guess we call it more mainstream churches, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, sure. Now, let me go back to what you said, and this is definitely something I want to ask you about. The dialogue a reporter had with Belter, okay? How often was this? At what length? Did it just involve religion? And then it reads from the story, he really didn't want to go too much in depth. Thoughts about his beliefs. Was the reporter allowed to get into other questioning with Belter? Because that's always, I think that's fascinating. A lot of people wonder what sort of access a prisoner of these charges might have with reporter, and then whether that individual is willing to talk with any sort of candor to said journalist who's reached out.
Yeah. So this was Sarah Nelson, who did several like online, sort of like almost like a chat room type interviews with him. She's our federal courts reporter. And our goal going into this was to focus on his faith. And,
yep.
And I mean, ultimately, I think the question that everyone's asking with something like this is, why did he do this? Or why did he allegedly do this? Because it's,
sure.
This is so obviously outside the norm. I mean, I think, as you alluded coming in, this I think is the, you know, certainly the biggest news story in Minnesota now, and I would say probably the biggest news story since George Floyd and everything that came after
his
murder.
I agree. Absolutely.
And so, but we're all wondering why. And we thought, look, this is so many people around him described him as just this faith-filled person. How can that lead to this? And that's what we went into. And he is also, I should say, like one of the most media-friendly accused multiple murderers in recent memory.
Did you ever think you'd offer up those comments, Reed?
No. I would not want to be his attorney because he said a lot of different outlets.
Yeah.
He can be cagey about things. Like this is me making a little bit of a jump and an analysis here. So
understand.
Excuse me that.
Yeah.
But like, I get the sense that he's pretty darn media savvy. He's talking to The Blaze, a very conservative Christian outlet, about this COVID conspiracy theory. I think he gets a much more receptive audience talking about the COVID vaccine and how it's supposedly killed all these people in Minnesota than he would with Star Tribune readers. With the Star Tribune, he was cagey about some things. He wouldn't talk about motive. He wouldn't talk about like how this has affected his church. Like the church is very much in turmoil, as you would expect.
Because of him. Right. And the
poll.
Right. Let me just chime in on this.
Would be, right?
Right. Let me chime in on this because I'm running out of time.
Yeah.
The idea after the three of you did all this reporting, including the conversations, is there enough out there to in any way suggest that the religion was the tipping point for this? Or this is just really more of an example of how important religion was for him and how his entire life was centered on the names of his kids are dictated by his belief in God in this particular faith. And one of his kids is named
Faith. Another one of his kids was named after a missionary who was his mentor who was to death on a missionary trip to Africa. Like this guy was, in a way, seems like his inspiration. Do we blame the faith? I don't know. I hate to give that answer, but I don't know. We always look to like point the finger when something awful happens.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he is swimming in this stew that has a lot of extreme elements, a lot of elements that seem to encourage violence. But do we say it is the fault of his religion? I think that's you can't see into someone's brain. You can't see into someone's soul. So I hate doing that. But I think what we did, and I think this is a worthy endeavor that we discussed, is it worth giving this guy this much of a platform? These were discussions that we had amongst us. And I think it's a very – you can make that argument either way. I know I think Kara Levin made the argument a different way. They're not going to platform this guy.
Right. Yep.
We decided it's important not to say this is why he did it, but it's important to understand – the world that he was operating in for, 40 odd years, and the influence that world, not Belzer specifically, not these necessarily extreme views, but that world has in modern day politics. There are certainly fringe or maybe not fringe elements in that world that can scare people. But I think it's a worthy endeavor, and there's a lot of nuance to it, but there's a worthy endeavor to look at the world that he sort of came from.
Reed, as always, very good on air. I encourage people to read the story. Thanks again. We'll reach out down the line.
Thank you.
Reed Forgrave.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.